Christensen, for those of you who don't know me. And I'm the chair of the Denominational Affairs Committee. And this morning we've come to celebrate two independent Unitarian Universalist affiliates which have taken upon themselves the role of implementing our UUA principles. And both of them, quote, walk the walk, and both of them ask that we walk it with them. And the first office we're going to celebrate this morning is the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, and especially their Guest at the Table project. So it's for this project that we will be lighting our chalice this morning. Because this is a very special chalice lighting, we have five very special chalice lighters to help us. So I wonder if my chalice lighters would come up to the front here and form a little semicircle around the chalice. And Melissa, you'd stand in the middle. Okay, and Judy, we'll start off with you.
We gather together in this sacred space. Bless the generations of love and concern. They're all to hear the promise of love and share the one another's truth. Their hope prevails in the chalice of love and the feeling of love by Jesus Christ.
To light the chalice today to honor the orphan of that reaches out to others, to our families and friends, to people we meet, and to the many people we may never meet, but whose lives are touched with the work of the UUA.
We light the chalice to honor the people in this room, in this society, and in the whole world.
We share our planet with all the people of the world. We welcome them as our guests, as guests to our table.
A wise person once said, "Take from the past, not its ashes, but its fires." Today, we kindle this flame, knowing that our presence forms a bridge between the past and the future. We made the flame light in our hearts today, draw strength from the best of our liberal religious heritage. May it empower us to act boldly for justice in the present world, and may it shine brightly in our lives as a beacon for the future.
And Melissa will now light the chalice. All of you stand here for a minute.
But still I am one.
I cannot do everything,
but still I can do something.
And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do.
Okay. As an independent membership organization, the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee receives no government funding or general support from the Unitarian Universalist Association. It depends solely on the support of individuals, congregations, and foundations to support its human rights activity. The membership in the UUSD is $25 a person and only $10 for students and seniors. Seems like I'm always trying to get money out of the people. Each year, the Youth Service Committee helps thousands of people in dozens of communities worldwide to improve their lives. In confronting political, cultural, and economic oppression throughout the world, for nearly six decades, the UU Service Committee is recognized worldwide for its comprehensive approaches to social change and for promoting social and economic justice everywhere. In the United States, the Service Committee concentrates its resources on ensuring that all children's needs are met. It works on legislation affecting children, on juvenile justice issues, and on ending urban violence. And last year, Unitarian Universalist Youth, working with the UUSD, rebuilt three black churches in Alabama that had been destroyed by arson, and built housing for Native Americans on the reservation in South Dakota. This is something that our young people can do within the New York City. Our congregation has been a strong supporter of the UUSC, both by the adults with their memberships and contributions, and by the young people in the RU program through the Guests at Your Table program. And we were, in fact, commended in a recent issue of the UU World for the large percentage of our congregation which contributed to the service today. I have a little plug here because I had planned as part of the service to bring in one of the Guest at the Table boxes, and the children were going to read the articles from the UN Charter that were printed around the side of the box. But as often happens, I walked out of the house without that, so I don't we had to cut that little piece of the program. But this Guest at Your Table, many of you are familiar with it from previous years, is a special way for UU families like ours to share their good fortune with people who don't have as much as we have and who need some help. This is a little box that you set at your dining room table, and you're asked every time you sit down to a meal to drop 50 cents or whatever you can afford to drop into this box. And at the end of the time period, which is about 4 weeks, we'll be distributing these boxes actually on November 23rd. And they'll be given out through the RE classes to all of the RE participants in the area. And if there are any families here who don't have children and who adults who would like to have a box, I'd be happy to give you one as well. This year's box contains on its side some of the basic human rights outlined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was adopted by the United Nations Assembly. And as you fill your box, you're going to be helping to affirm the dignity and worth and human rights of every person by providing some hope and tangible support to our courageous partners in the United States and overseas. Well, this is where our chalice lighters are going to be using them to fulfill the service. The boxes, they'll give them out on the 23rd of November, and then they'll be collected on Sunday, December 21st. Now, if the way this works, if your box comes back to us with $25 in it, then you're automatically an adult member of the UUSC. If you're a youth or a child, $10 will give you a child's membership. If you don't have that much in it, we appreciate whatever you're able to put into it. Anyone who's feeling especially generous and contribute $60, that $60 will be matched by the UU Church in Shelter Island, New York. That church is very, very generous. When I go to GA, what do you know about? You know something about that church?
No, I just said they're very rich.
I think that's the church that backs the beach loans, if I'm not mistaken, that when we were able to buy our church. But they are. And they're also very generous. The dates that our families will have these boxes span the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that therefore give us a wonderful opportunity to share what we have and give a gift to someone else. So we will close our portion of the program, the children's portion of the program, with this promise. And I wonder if you would repeat after each of the leaders. Kevin, you have a page in there. Kevin.
You're loving it.
Do you have another page on your Okay. You want to stand up and read that line, and I'd like to have the congregation repeat after him, and then also Judy, if you would read your line, and the congregation will repeat after you.
Okay. We share our planet with all the people of the world.
We share our planet with all the people of the world.
We welcome them as guests at our table.
We welcome them as guests at our table.
Okay. And now we'll sing number 52 in our song book. I believe it's the 52.
And the good news is also you're going to hear about this again when they are here. Thank you.
Any other joys and sorrows?
I'll be real quick.
Alita?
I had a blast schmoozing at the National Arts Center in New York. I won't take the time to tell you all about it. You should ask me afterwards. I had a great time with my son and his partner speaking.
Very good. And Anne?
I arrived a little late, so forgive me if it's a repeat, but last night was fall frolic, and it was really wonderful to have all the kids interacting so well and supported by so many adults here. It's really great.
And I guess I'll share a sort of a sorrow. Last week, I ran off this long list of everybody I knew who had suddenly informed me that they were ill. And so yesterday morning, because I was having trouble with my computer and trying to get my program together, I got up real early in the morning, like 5 o'clock. You can mark that on your calendar. And I thought, well, I'll call my brother up on the telephone because he's one of these people that's up real early and out of the house by 7 o'clock. So I called my brother up and I said, how are you? You don't sound so great. And he said, no, I just broke my leg yesterday. I think that's enough. I want to say that's enough. Okay, that's enough. How many of you feel that the United Nations is a worthwhile organization? I think that looks pretty unanimous here. And you think it should continue to exist?
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
And how many of you think, or maybe I should put it the other way, is there anybody in here who thinks that the United States should not pay its debt to the United Nations and pay it in full and pay it now? That looks pretty unanimous also. So I'm glad that we may not, if we were taking this poll in other locations, we may not hear that response, but I'm awfully glad to see that response here. Well, in this celebration of UN Day, which was Friday, I'm going to spend a few minutes, first of all, just refreshing your memory with some general information I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Unitarian Universalist United Nations Office. Hereafter referred to as the UUUNO. And that's my tongue. I'm sure you all know some of this already, of course. The General Assembly, we have six bodies within the UN system. And the General Assembly, which is the principal deliberative body, where each of 185 members has one vote. Then you have the Security Council, whose 10 changing members, and then 5 permanent members. And those permanent members are China, the United States, France, the Russian Federation, and the United Kingdom. And then you have the Economic and Social Council, whose 54 members are responsible for coordinating the UN's economic and social work. And it's this body that probably has the most influence in the ordinary person's life, dealing as it does with such issues as population, the rights of women, the refugees, hunger, the rights of children, and of course many, many others. And I'm going to be referring to this Economic and Social Council a little later on when I talk about the UUUNO office. The fourth body is the International Court of Justice, which is based in The Hague, and that decides the legal disputes between countries which have agreed to accept its jurisdiction. And then the fifth is one whose future is very shaky, the Trusteeship Council, which was formed to have jurisdiction over the 11 former colonies, which are no longer colonies, but are now independent countries. And then last, the Secretariat, which is the civil service of the UN and carries out all of the decisions of the other bodies. Of course, there are a group of other specialized and intergovernmental agencies, plus some autonomous financial organizations. And the Chief Administrative Officer, the Secretary General,
is appointed to a 5-year term by the General Assembly's 185 members after having been recommended by the Security Council. You all know the headquarters is in New York City. I don't know how many of you know that the land that it sits on was donated by the Rockefeller family for the purpose of building the UN. And it also has offices in Nairobi, Geneva, Vienna, and some other places around the world.
It's been my good fortune to visit the UN headquarters in New York City and to read an article in the Reader's Digest years ago about their wanting to make a chapel in the United Nations building. But with all the different churches and religious organizations represented in the world, what to put in that chapel? And eventually they decided on a huge block, solid granite, I think it was, with a beam of light hitting it. That's all it's a
The UN gives employment to 54,000 people around the world, and the United States has 4,000 employees with the United Nations, which is the largest group of, they have more employees working for the UN than any other nation. The cost, now, I have read two or three different costs for running the UN, so I had a little problem deciding which figures to use, but the one that I did use was the $18.2 billion, which is the 1995 figure. And that prorates to about $3 for every person on the face of the earth. We'd like to question, what does the UN do to improve our daily lives? And why should we pay for it, keep it going?
The regular flow of mail between the U.S. and other countries is made possible by agreements on international mail delivery supervised by the UN Universal Postal Union.
International air travelers can fly safely to other nations because the UN International Civil Aviation Organization has set safety standards which are honored worldwide.
The flow of illegal drugs has been lessened due to drug control treaty promoted by the UN International Drug Control Program, which also helps developing world farmers to grow crops other than drug-producing ones.
International scientists and educators are engaged in international stages and research projects under the sponsorship of the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization and the UN University.
Health officials worldwide are provided with the latest information and techniques for preventing and treating AIDS by UNAIDS, a joint program of 6 UN agencies.
And of course, in addition to the ones that we just read, some of the better known accomplishments of the UN, which most of you probably are already aware of, if not all of you, is the eradication of smallpox from the entire world in 1979 by the World Health Organization. And in 1974, only 4%, only 5% of the world's children had been immunized against children's diseases, the most serious children's diseases. And currently, 80% of the world's children have been immunized against those diseases. And this was done by UNICEF, which we are supporting in our city and in our Sunday school, and the World Health Organization. And also, in the 1960s, only 10% of the world's population had access to safe birth control, contraception. And today, 55% of the world has access to effective contraception thanks to the UN World Population Fund. And over the past 10 years, an additional 1.3 billion people have been given access to safe water. And how does the UN benefit the United States directly?
Each year, the U.S. offices worldwide spend about $4 billion on items ranging from deep polio vaccines, and U.S. companies provide about 20% of these purchases, adding approximately $800 million to the American economy.
The U.S. Secretariat itself in New York City approved $396 million in purchases, of which American companies want 50% of the business, or about $197 million.
The United Nations, its agencies, and the diplomatic corps at New York's UN headquarters pump $3.2 billion a year into the economy of New York City and surrounding areas. These expenditures generate 30,600 jobs, yielding $1.2 billion in annual earnings. We don't pay a fair share.
More than one-third of American exports go to developing countries, and one-fourth of all American private investment is in those countries, thus stimulating economic growth and creating jobs for American workers.
And I think those four items are really good things if you write to your congressman or write to the president about our paying our dues in the UN. It seems to me that we're getting more out of the UN than we're being asked to put into it in many these ways, plus many other ways as well. A lot of publicity has emphasized the large percentage that the U.S. pays to keep the UN running. And as the world's richest nation, we are assessed 25% of the operating cost. The regular budget comes to about $300 million. This portion of the budget costs approximately $1 for every man, woman, and child in this country. The $3 that was cited earlier, and this is where I think the discrepancy in the funding costs come in, I think there's a separate budget for running the UN, and then the budget for the peace operations and some of the other operations are separate. So the $1 for every man, woman, and child, I think, is for the basic budget. The basic budget without the peace portion. If we compare American income with the income on the small island, for instance, of Palau, P-A-L-A-U, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, in geography, see if this one correctly. But the island of Palau in the South Pacific, their assessment comes to $6 per capita. Mm-hmm. And that is the highest assessment in the entire world. I don't know why they are being assessed that much. We have two UN experts in the audience here, the congregation, maybe if someone knows the answer, they could share it with us. But compare that $6 to our $1 per person. How could we be so cheap? And if they can pay, why can't we? And our interestingly enough, our payment represents 0.1% of the federal budget. And yet each one of us pays $180 a year for the military equipment. What can we do to promote the UN? Well, first of all, we need to express our views about this. If you feel that we ought to pay our debt, let your representatives on the local and the state and the national level know about it. Let the president know about it. Let them know what you think about the importance of the UN and what you think about the importance of our role in it, and also what you think of our debtor status. Participate in the efforts by the non-governmental organization to promote international service and cooperation. These groups all have programs and projects to educate the public, to raise funds, and support humanitarian efforts. You're already familiar with the American Association of University Women or the League of Women Voters. And then in a few minutes, I'll talk about our own Unitarian Universalist UN Nations, United Nations Office, which is one of those non-governmental organizations. You may also join an organization dedicated to promoting the UN. I asked our board of directors here at Prairie, and I will be asking you at the annual meeting next month to approve an inclusion of membership in the UN office in the Prairie budget. The congregational membership costs $50, or approximately 50 cents for each person, each member of Prairie. And I would hope that we would approve doing that. An individual membership in the United Nations office costs $20 to $35 a year, depending upon your age and your income. And I have a couple of membership forms in case, don't knock me down trying to get you stuff, but if anybody is deliriously excited about joining the UNL, I have a couple of membership forms. You might also consider a membership in the UN Association of the United States and in its local chapter. And Pat Cotley is very active in the local chapter, and I think maybe some other people in Prairie are as well. But if you have any interest in that, you might want to talk to Pat after the service. And also, don't forget to drop your loose change into the UNICEF boxes, which our children have all received, and which I noticed, I'm sure you have as well, on almost every store counter in Madison. Every store I've gone to, I've seen a UNICEF box at. Pat, have you distributed some of the Yes. Someplace I went into the other day, and the girl started to move the box, and it was so heavy already, and I thought they'd just been put out a few days before, but it was really waiting.
They take them down too. Whoever delivers them takes them down.
Down?
Yeah.
Well, this one was being moved. And at the UN dinner the other night, someone mentioned that someone had put a $40 check in one of the boxes that they would make check on, which they were very surprised at, but it was very nice. also, think about purchasing the UNICEF Christmas cards, holiday cards, and Pat's the sales representative for those here, right? Yes. And I'm going to have her make an announcement about that before you leave this morning. And then the other suggestion, those of you who are all gung-ho on the World Wide Web, you can visit the UN on the web, and I will write their web address here, or you can visit the UN Association on the web. Okay, now I want to say just a few words about the United Nations office, the Unitarian Universalist UN office. The sixth principle of Unitarian Universalism is, quote, to affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And this was felt by the Unitarians to require a special commitment to the United Nations. So thus it came about that the UUs are represented at the UN by the UUUNO, which is an associate membership organization of the UUA. Now, associate membership means that the office receives no funding from the UUA, much like the UUSC that we spoke about before, but it relies instead upon direct contributions from members, congregations, youth, and other union groups. And it works with the UUA and speaks and acts for Unitarians in meetings and activities in and concerning the United Nations. It sends information about the UN to UU members, both directly and through district representatives. And Unitarian district in the country has a representative who is the liaison between the office in New York and our individual congregations and the national office in Boston. Our UN office is located directly across the street from the United Nations in New York City, and it acts as a base and a support for any of you who are visiting or pursuing interests at the UN. So I think this is something you, if you are in New York City and you're planning to go to the UN, you can visit our office right across the street and get information that you might need about the UN. Now, when Nancy Graham and I did program here on General Assembly, we had decided that instead of trying to talk about everything we had seen or heard at General Assembly, we would concentrate on one or two things that we felt were most meaningful to us. And I chose to speak about the girls who had died in the fire in Birmingham, Alabama, and the statues that had been built for them in Phoenix. To me, that was the most meaningful and spiritual experience that I had at the General Assembly. However, the most interesting experience that I had at General Assembly were the workshops that I went to about the United Nations and about our United Nations office. I decided not to talk about that at that other meeting because I felt it required a little more time than I would have had there. And so I'd like to say how appreciative I am of the program committee for permitting me the opportunity to do this on the United Nations here today. At the General Assembly, I had the opportunity to hear a gentleman by the name of Bradley Patterson, who is a former White House official, who is president of the American Society for Public Administration and co-director with Sergeant Shriver of the Peace Corps in former years, and he's a member of the National UUA Board of Trustees. And also John Washburn. I don't know whether any of these names are familiar to you. They might be if you're a member of the UNO. John Washburn is the co-chair of the Washington Working Group on the International Criminal Court, and also a former member of the UN and the State Department, and the outgoing president of the United Nations office, that is the UU United Nations office. And then also listened to the Reverend Borton, who is the minister of the Lutheran Church in Staten Island, New York, and is the incoming president of the UN office. And they were extremely interesting. They spoke first with, and I found this interesting because this is something I guess I hadn't read much about in the newspapers, and it wasn't something that I was terribly concerned with, but they spoke first and with great respect about the new Secretary General of the UN, Kofi Annan, from Ghana. And in response to a lot of the criticism of the UN and the costs that are involved, they said that he had already implemented several administrative and management reforms in the Secretariat by eliminating over 1,000 posts which had previously been frozen and they had been unable to get rid of. He consolidated three of the Secretariat departments dealing with social and economic activities, and he had imposed a 25% reduction in the documentation produced by the Secretariat. In other words, trying to cure some of the normal civil service problems that you find in any civil service organization. He also released a second set of reform proposals to include greater coordination of the UN's humanitarian and development activities and better management of the Secretariat. And in addition to these, he is committed to reducing their administrative costs by one-third and taking that money out of the Secretariat and channeling it into development programs. And the forecasted 97-98 budget has already been reduced by $70 million in the U.S. since he has taken over. Mr. Anand is was the former treasurer comptroller of the UN and a very deeply committed 30-year employee of the organization. And so as treasurer comptroller, he was in a unique position to know where the fiscal problems were and to try and do something about them. Also a skilled economic politician, he was educated in the United States at McAllister College, and got a PhD from MIT. So he's, according to these gentlemen that spoke at GA, he was extremely highly regarded by other diplomats, is committed to impartiality, fairness, and disinterestedness. And this is a quote by Mr. Washburn. He is not a patsy for the United States. End of quote. And this may be why we don't want to pay our debt. I don't know. That's an editorial from Washington. But anyhow, it will be worthwhile keeping our eye on what's going on since he has become Secretary General. I got the feeling that he is doing an extraordinarily good job. And for me, one of the more interesting things that I got from this, also from General Assembly, had to do with the Unitarian Universalist members' right to attend and participate in the Economic and Social Council meetings. I found this very interesting. It may not be interesting to anybody else, but I thought this was very interesting. Religious bodies are prohibited from admission to membership in this UN body. But the technicality within the UUA is that we are a group of separate individual congregations. We do not have a hierarchy as you find in other churches and other religious bodies. And there is no theological doctrine that is passed down from the top to the individual congregations. As a result of this, they considered us an association rather than a religious group. And as an association, we were then given non-governmental, an NGO, non-governmental organization, consultative status, and associate status, which is, I don't know, a 501c3 status. Does anybody know what that is? Tax-exempt
education
order. Okay, thank you. And we've been given that with the UN. And what this means is that through our United Nations office, the Unitarians and the UUA in Boston has the right and privilege to promulgate our views, to lobby this council, to speak in front of them and to try to get some of our resolutions, in fact, which is what it would be more or less, on the agenda and voted on at the General Assembly. So one of the big pushes that's going on now and is the question of landmines. And the Unitarians are very involved in that, and as are many, many other groups. And we have the right to go in front of this council and argue and lobby to dismantle and get rid of landmines. I'm just using that as an example, but this would be true with many other items. I just found this very fascinating. We have 6 permanent passes to these council meetings in New York and also in Geneva, and in addition to which there are temporary passes available where you can be accredited to attend these meetings on a temporary basis, and then there are a couple of public information passes that are available to UUA. I sort of got the sense that almost any Unitarian who had sufficient expertise could theoretically get up and speak in front of the UN Economic and Social Council to try and get their agenda, help in passing a certain agenda. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other things they mentioned about this access was the fact that this suddenly makes us very popular with other non-governmental organization coalitions. Because if you have 20 groups who are all fighting, I'll use the landmine situation again, who are all trying to do something about getting rid of landmines, and they know that we can speak to this at the UN, then those coalitions are interested in joining forces with us because we can help them to further their agenda as well. So, okay. That's all I know. So in closing, I'd just like to leave you with the answer to the question of what can I do, and I think I did that before. You know, get involved, write your congressman, write your president, get our debts paid, and get interested and involved in the UN. And if you're interested in the UN Association here in Madison, can answer some of your questions. And I thank you very much for listening to me. So with that, we have a song on the back of your program, the Ode to the United Nations. Thank you.
doing that. Do we have any guests or visitors this morning? Pat,
could I say something about UNICEF?
Can we finish introducing? Are there any guests and visitors? Evidently not. So, okay. You're going to be the first to be announced.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Would you like to come up here and do that?
Yes.
I don't know how many of you saw the article in one of the. This appeared in both Madison newspapers. I'm not sure just when, in the Cap Times. I think it was last Monday. And in a way, it seems phenomenal to me that both were willing to publish it at about the same time, because they ordinarily don't. And it's particularly attractive with these colored pictures from UNICEF materials. It's a wonderful article written by Cecil Finley, whose wife has taken over distribution of UNICEF materials to churches and groups, a job that I did for 8 years. They're a couple who just moved to Madison about 2 years ago for retirement, because a son lives here, and a friend who goes to the same Methodist church as they said, be sure to get them as volunteers, because they're looking for things to do. And the one thing that Cecil didn't mention in this article is that UNICEF does not receive any money from the United Nations. It's completely supported on gifts and the sales of its products. So that's a good reason to buy UNICEF cards and puzzles and a t-shirt. There is quite a good exhibit of what is available down at the Global Express, which is a shop in which everyone who works there is a volunteer. It's in a train car down at the old depot, and you can see what the t-shirts and so on are like. And I just thought I would mention UNICEF was begun in 1948 when a 9-year-old girl in Czechoslovakia sent a painted picture of children around a maypole to the office thanking them for the they had given the children in her community after the end of World War II. And the name, UNICEF, stands for United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, which is such a mouthful that it's never used these days, and most people couldn't even say what all the initials stand for. It's just known as UNICEF. Our country does generally contribute $100,000 each year to UNICEF, and quite a few other countries do too, but it does seem to be a worthy cause to support if you're going to be buying Christmas cards and so on. I do have a correct catalog, and we will have materials here for sale later in November.
The materials from the Global Express, not the cards, but other things? Or you're talking about the cards?
Perhaps a few other things. We will have puzzles and calendars.
Mostly cards?
But it's all UNICEF.
Yeah.
The cards one has to order in advance, is that not?
No.
Not necessarily. Okay, any other announcements, Kathy?
We're looking for some people for our simple dinner group. Gary and I, down in Virginia, and Mary Ann and Carl are in. Anne and me want to get in the group with the kids. If anybody's interested, let us know.
Any other announcements?
There will be a program committee meeting at 11:30 after this morning's program downstairs. Oh, I also had a joy that I didn't quite get in because I had my hand up soon enough. My joy is the choir rehearsal this morning was just what I needed. I was feeling very stressed, and Linda helped me with that song this morning, and then the choir rehearsal was just great. The tonic I needed.
Good. Mary
Bowen's
out there?
Oh, we decided last week that the women's group would try to meet this week because we couldn't last week because of the finance crisis. So I wondered whether there are at least four or five people who are planning to attend.
I need something like that.
The quiet time. We'll be downstairs too, right afterwards.
Rosemary, I think you were there.
I think I'm alone for cleanup this morning, and I was wondering if I could have someone for at least 10 minutes to explain how the dishwasher works. I am not a high-tech person.
Anybody want to volunteer to explain how the dishwasher works for Rosemary? Al, I think, is sort of.
It's best to meet once again. He's good at dishwashers.
Also, right after the service ends, there'll be a parent-teacher orientation for the senior high class. They're coming last for the period.
All right. I
want to thank people who have already given me their pledge slips for the next year's pledges, and I will be gladly accepting others so that we don't have to phone you this week. And if anybody did not get one, I know I have one for you, Bob. If there's anyone who did not get one, see me. I have some extras here this morning.
Okay, and I saw one more hand on.
I just wanted to add what Mike said, that this was only our second choir rehearsal, so it's not too late to join, and it's not an audition group by any means, so if you would like to have a tonic Sunday morning at 9, please see Barb or Delita about joining the choir. We'd be happy to have more sopranos.
Boxes don't matter to that much, but the last couple of years, Tara and Alien is doing ticket reading at $50-$60 a year. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people throw in quarters and 50 cents, and not that many kids take them. Mm-hmm. So when people see a box, they stuff it, but it is $50-$60 a year. They like to figure out how much that is on the list of what that gives to kids.
That's wonderful. Yes.
I also have an announcement about the Thanksgiving Intergenerational Program. This morning I went downstairs to recruit among the kids in the ARE program. Decided to start at the lowest level, excluding preschool, and got one volunteer from the K-1-2 group and three volunteers from the 3-5 group. Decided to stop there because I'm going to be too big and committed. But I'm just asking, let me know afterward if there's any adult who would like to be involved in helping to plan this program.
Okay. Last announcement, Anne.
It's actually a question, and it's about UNICEF. When I was a kid growing up in New York, there were commercials on TV, especially in October, promoting UNICEF. And it was wonderful. You grew up with this very friendly association with this organization. And are there such things available that just aren't being done in the market because no one's buying the TV time for it? Do you know that?
Yes, I'm sure they're available, but the radio stations, you know, are not terribly open. It's giving free time and anything.
You know, a good place for that would be something like Neil Hyman's editorial on television. And my guess would be that he would be very open to doing an editorial on UNICEF. Or on the UN, for instance. I think he's been looking for ideas. Mm-hmm. So, he did one for me on the jury service, and if he would do it for me, I'm sure he'd do it for other people. Well, I'm going to cut the announcements unless this is an emergency. Okay. And I'll make my own announcement. I brought for people that I keep forgetting to give them to. So I have for Gail, I have something for you. I have with Betty Jolings. I brought your stuff in that you wanted back. And I also have somebody else. Oh, your Windows on the World newspaper. So don't And then I would like us to stand up for a minute, and before we sing our final song, if you would hold hands, which I'd really love to have a circle, but I think there are too many of us in the back. So if you would hold hands with the people, maybe you could do that. Just turn around and face, turn around and face each other. And we're going to have a little meditation. And then we will sing together. If you would like to just be silent, and if you don't lose your balance by closing your eyes, close your eyes for a minute, and I would like to read this before we depart. So, let us send forth metta, loving kindness to all who suffer in this world. Let us say in our hearts to all beings, including ourselves, may you be happy and peaceful. May you be free from fear and pain. May you live with love and compassion. May you fully awaken and be free. We open our hearts to those in our own circle, those who are suffering from illness or of body or mind, from sorrow and loss, from loneliness, disappointment, or despair. We open our hearts to our brothers and sisters around the world. We open our hearts to those who are in places torn by war, those who suffer from hunger, from displacement, from tyranny, from disease. And finally, but equally important, we remember ourselves and we open our hearts to ourselves and to each other. May we bless it be. And now we'll sing our final hymn, 389, gathered here. Sometimes this is done as a round, but we won't do it as a round today. So just quietly, we'll sing through this twice.
That's all, folks.